Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Rob.
And I'm Dave from the Totally 80s and 90s podcast.
While we check our vector, Victor, you'll be listening to the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast.
And don't worry, Jason and Dee can not only fly this plane, they can also land it.
We're about to finish with 5 years of doing this, and I can't imagine stopping at any point anytime soon. I want to keep doing this forever. I hope we never split apart.
Wherever we go, whatever happens, when I look up at the stars, I'll know you'll be looking at the same ones.
Guys, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. If this is your first time here, welcome in. We just like to have lots of fun here. And if you're one of our many returning listeners, love you. So cool. I am here with my Elvis glasses and my Hawaiian shirt, and Jason has his Honey Bear bong, and he has shaved his head just for this episode. We are here for the second part of our comparison between the movies True Romance and Natural Born Killers, both which were Quentin Tarantino's original script. All together. All one script.
All one script.
You can get the full story on that one on our last episode. But we are here today. We are jumping back in. We've got, you know, we talked a lot about Tony Scott in our last episode. And we talked about him a lot when we talked about Beverly Hills Cop 2. And even more when we talked about Top Gun. Just the craziness that he was so good and so incredible at what he did. And so well regarded and just decided to end it all.
What?
It's crazy. And then you've got Oliver Stone, which is a far less beloved guy. Now, we can say he has definitely done some amazing things.
Is this our first time to talk about Oliver Stone?
Yeah, it's our first time because we've thrown around the idea of doing Full Metal Jacket versus Platoon.
Sure.
And, I mean, you've got JFK should be compared to something. I mean, he's got
Wall Street,
all kinds of great things, but not any movies that we've covered so far. He enlisted for Vietnam, fought in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was the influence for a trilogy of movies, Platoon being the first, Born on the 4th of July being the second, and Heaven and Earth was the third one. Did you see that?
No, but I know of it because Tommy Lee Jones.
Right, which maybe that's how he gets in this one. But he was coming off of that third not as well received movie.
Right.
When he decides to buy in to make Natural Born Killers. And he had his initial intention was to make it a movie that was more like the kind of comedic, romantic, still violent movie that Tarantino had written. But things started happening that just made him realize the world is a crazy place. And all that the media seems to do with it is try to make it even crazier. And so he kind of jumped on that idea. And in retrospect, going back and looking at it, Tarantino wrote the lines for the groupies, the Mickey and Mallory groupies, well before 1991.
Right.
But as I'm watching it, I'm thinking these are the same people who were latching on to the grunge movement. These are the same kids who are like, I'm tired of what's gone on before. I want something more real. And they kind of took that perspective. And what if instead of idolizing these alternative music rock stars, they idolize killers, mass murderers?
Okay. You know, Oliver Stone, his movies seem a little overly serious to me.
Yeah.
They're interesting. They're just not very fun for me, right? Right. I
it's
told you my story about
not
the Doors.
Popcorn movies.
Right. Yeah. They're not popcorn at all. And I think Natural Born Killers kind of wants to be popcorny. I don't know. I told you my Doors story, right? We told you this a couple of podcasts back, but we get to the part where there's the sex scene, there's the witchcraft, there's the drugs, and
the blood,
and I'm having to watch this to talk about it for a podcast, and I get to this part, I'm like, what in the crap am I watching? And at that moment, my 12-year-old son goes, whoa, Dad, what are you watching? Right?
Yes. Same actors from A Twilight Zone. Go back and check that episode out. That's right. With Amanda Janik.
That's right. So The Doors has Val Kilmer, which, of course, he's in True Romance.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's some crossover here.
Yeah. Did you like Wall Street?
I liked Wall Street better than I liked JFK.
Did you like Platoon?
I appreciate Platoon.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, these movies are not fun, right? Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I remember watching Born on the 4th of July just thinking,
I'd rather get beat up than watch that movie.
I feel like I'm getting beat up about this.
Right. It's just really long. It's kind of heavy. It's not very fun.
Right. Right. So, Gary Oldman, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
His favorite parts that he's ever played, he named two. Lee Harvey Oswald and Drexel Spivey.
Let's talk about the cast for Natural Born Killers.
Okay. Before we get to the cast of Natural Born Killers, I want to throw this at you.
Okay.
Natural Born Killers was named by IMDb as the sixth most controversial movie of all time.
So do we want to talk about the copycat killers at this point before we get into the cast?
Well, do you want to know the five other most?
Oh, of course. You got a top five
list. I tee that up for you like that. This is according to IMDb. The most controversial movies of all time. I'm going to go through seven because we've talked about seven. Number one, most controversial movie of all time, The Passion of the Christ.
Sure.
Okay. Number two, A Clockwork Orange.
Understandable, yeah.
Number three, Fahrenheit 9-1-1.
I haven't seen it.
Number four is JFK.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just because it's so conspiracy theory based?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Right.
All
right.
Yeah, yeah.
It stirred up a lot of conversation. Number five is The Last Temptation of Christ.
Wait a minute. What was the first one?
The Passion of the Christ.
Oh.
Passion of the Christ, yeah. Mel Gibson. Last Temptation of Christ, Martin Scorsese.
Really? The Passion was controversial?
Pretty controversial. An R-rated movie about the life, death, resurrection of Christ. Yeah. Number six, Natural Born Killers.
Okay.
Number seven, Last Tango in Paris. Do you remember when we talked about that?
Well, it would have had been our Superman episode.
That's
when
right.
We were talking about Marlon Brando and the fact that he could not film in Italy because he was wanted on pornography charges,
that's right.
I believe.
That's right.
For The Last Tango in Paris. By the yep. way, I think the actress involved in those scenes actually said that she was raped in those scenes. So,
pretty yes. controversial.
Pretty controversial. Yes. That's right.
Okay.
Okay, so to the cast?
Let's dive into the cast of Natural Born Killers.
This is a more, like, a controversial cast than we had in True Romance.
Interesting, okay.
Like True Romance, I feel like they hit it on the head in all respects.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way for Natural Born Killers?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And that you're jumping right out of the gate with the one that is the controversial question, right?
You are not going to find a bigger Cheers fan than me.
Right.
I love Cheers.
Right.
This is amazing. Hundreds of bottles. Red and white wine glasses. Hi, great Norgide school covers. And a brass rail. And a big city bartender with a joke at the ready.
You from out of town?
Okay, I'll bite. Yeah, I'm from out of town.
Can I help you?
Well, that went right over my head. Excuse me, my name's Woody Boyd.
It was seeing Woody Harrelson as a crazy, you know, homicidal killer was difficult for me to deal with.
It's just murder, man. All God's creatures do it in some form or another. I mean, you look in the forest. You got species killing other species. Our species killing all species, including the forest. And we just call it industry, not murder.
Right. But it's like George Michael coming out with I Want Your Sex after being in Wham.
Sure.
He was doing everything he could to break out of the mold that he was obviously getting stuck in.
Yes.
Because he'd also played that goofball kind of character in Doc Hollywood as well, right?
Yeah, he did.
But if not for Natural Born Killers, where he comes out and he's playing anything but a goofball, we wouldn't have had Indecent Proposal. We wouldn't have had The People versus Larry Flint. We wouldn't have had, what's the True Detective with him and Matthew McConaughey? I mean, the fact is that Woody Harrelson has got some genuine, solid acting chops. And Oliver Stone was the one that decided, I think that this guy can play a killer.
Well, so Oliver Stone wanted Michael Madsen to play this character.
Uh-huh.
But the studio said, hey, we'll give you $20 million extra dollars if you hire Woody Harrelson.
Right. But Oliver Stone looked at Woody Harrelson, saw something in his eyes, and he said, and his dad is actually a killer. His dad, if you don't know the story, go check out the podcast, Son of a Hitman.
Yeah.
His dad is serving time in the pen because he was a hitman and he murdered, allegedly, a federal judge.
He did. Shot him in the back.
Yes. Yep. The podcast does call that into question. It doesn't make any bones about the fact that he killed people. They're just saying, well, I don't know if he killed that guy. But yeah, Woody Harrelson's dad is a convicted murderer.
It's so fascinating. I saw an interview with Robert Kennedy Jr., and he and Woody Harrelson are good buddies. Like, they're friends.
Okay.
Robert Kennedy is saying Woody Harrelson's dad definitely had a role in my uncle's assassination. And if you haven't connected the dots, his uncle is John F. Kennedy. Okay. So, by the way,
how did you feel seeing Woody as a natural born killer?
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. I thought he was brilliant because we talked about Michael Madsen being in that part. And Michael, to me, Michael Madsen is not somebody that groupies are going to fawn after. He's not, I mean, he's okay,
yeah,
but he's just not a blue-eyed, good-looking, chiseled jaw guy. He's a guy who might cut a cop's ear off.
Michael Madsen, though, has a level of menace that I don't think Woody has.
I think that's what makes him so great.
Okay.
Born a natural born killer, man. I figured out who I am.
By the way, since we're talking about Bobby Kennedy, I can't wait any longer. I've got to tell you this nugget.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we got to switch back to True Romance for just a second.
Okay.
Since we're talking about Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
The hotel shootout scene in True Romance.
Yes.
Was shot in the Ambassador Hotel, which has since been closed down, abandoned.
Uh-huh.
But that is the same hotel where Bobby Kennedy was shot.
Wow.
There you go.
As long as we're on that, I'm going to throw a tidbit out here. I mentioned earlier, but we talked about Val Kilmer being cast as not Elvis, but the mentor. But
right.
He's obviously Elvis right. In this movie, right?
Right, right.
Quentin Tarantino did act a bit before he hit it big as a writer and director.
Is this the Dolph Lundgren thing?
No, although that's a good one.
Like, okay.
He and Roger Avery worked as production assistants on the Dolph Lundgren workout video or whatever it was.
Right.
No. After that, he played an Elvis impersonator on the episode called Sophia's Wedding Part 1 of the fourth season of The Golden Girls, which was broadcast on November 19th, 1988, almost exactly 36 years ago today. It was aired. Now, here's the interesting follow-up to that. He only got paid about $650 to do it, but because it was such a great episode, they kept syndicating it, and so he ended up making about $3,000 in payments.
Syndication
as
money, yeah.
Syndication, which kept him alive while he was in the process of making Reservoir Dogs.
The Golden Girls, thank for this.
The Elvis impersonator part he played on The Golden Girls helped him make it through Reservoir Dogs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the cast of Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
So you've got Woody Harrelson.
What do you have to say to your fans?
You ain't seen nothing yet.
And then you've got Juliette Lewis.
Yep.
I do. For all eternity, until you and I die and die and die again. Till death do us part.
We talked about her because she is the daughter of Jeffrey Lewis.
Who is in Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Right.
Go check out that comparison. What a great couple of movies. Clint Eastwood's highest box office success.
Crazy.
I can't figure that out, but that it is. Go check those episodes out. That's a couple seasons.
We love those.
Those are great movies.
We love those.
Right turn, Clyde.
So Oliver Stone wanted her to get buff for this movie, right?
Yeah.
And she was kind of pushed back on it. She's like, I don't really think she feminine, right?
Right.
She's mean and she's a killer, but she's feminine.
Again, it betrays the fact that she's going to beat your ass if you try to mess with her.
Right. She actually could do 7 pull-ups by the time that the movie was filming.
Okay.
So there you go.
How many pull-ups can you do?
Probably not 7. Okay. She's great in this movie.
She has that perfect, sweet girl next door. Not super attractive, but a little bit crazy behind the eyes.
Yeah. She's the type where she might burn down your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Her dance moves paint a different picture.
Yeah.
And she had just only, I don't think she had been in much, maybe Cape Fear.
Christmas Vacation.
Oh, of course.
She plays Audrey in Christmas Vacation. Right. But yeah, Cape Fear, where she has sex that weird thumb and, thing yeah. with rubber. Yeah. Okay. You also have a completely drugged out Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Wait. Don't Mickey Mallory always leave somebody alive to tell the tale?
We are your camera.
He spent time with somebody preparing for this movie. Did you know this?
Is this Geraldo Rivera?
It wasn't Geraldo Rivera, although the interview is based on Geraldo Rivera's interview of Charles Manson.
Yes. Yeah.
But there was a guy named Steve Dunleavy, who was an Australian TV shock jock guy.
Uh-huh.
And he was like Access Hollywood or something like that. It shows he was one of those guys. And so he hung out with him the whole time. And because he's Australian, that's how Robert Downey Jr. said, I want Wayne Gale to have an Australian accent.
Okay.
You didn't like the part?
I didn't like this movie, but.
Oh, he gave it away.
I mean, you know.
He gave it away.
Robert Downey Jr. on drugs is still incredibly talented.
Yeah.
I mean, this is after Chaplin. I mean, he's killing it. He's killing it, but his demons are on the surface here. Now you got Tom Sizemore, who plays Detective Scagnetti.
Right. Cop in one, cop in the other. Yep.
Yeah. And he
takes off his shirt and tells him that he wants her to squeeze his nipple as he kisses her in her jail cell.
Yeah. When he wakes her up, she like Juliette Lewis actually punches him and breaks his nose in that scene. And you can hear him say, I think you broke my nose. That's real.
She actually broke his nose, yes.
According to him,
she really,
he really did, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Then you have Tommy Lee Jones as the warden.
Precursor to Two-Face.
Yeah.
By the way, that movie might be in a What the Heck Happened, not maybe that movie, but the follow-up movie.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that next season. When he got his hair cut for this movie, they said, well, how do you want it cut? He said, I want it to look like a 57 Chevy. And that's how his hair looks.
It does have the kind of fins in the back. It does. Yeah.
How about Rodney Dangerfield as Juliette Lewis's dad?
I'm going out!
You ain't going nowhere.
Hey, Jack. Mickey's back.
Disturbing. And I mean, again, it's this idea of taking people's real life tragedy. And this is all Oliver Stone. In the original script, they just kind of breeze by the fact that they murdered the parents. And there was no talk in the original script of her being molested or the mom abiding while it happened. That was all
right.
Stone and his producers doing that. But I thought it was effective in its intent to make you uncomfortable.
Well, it definitely made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I want my Rodney Dangerfield to be funny and sarcastic, and I want my Woody to be goofy.
Exactly. I want Woody Boyd and I want Al Shervik, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Rodney Dangerfield's wife is Edie McClurg. She plays Grace from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
9 times. She's also the ticket lady in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
She was a member of the Groundlings. She was also in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
She was taking notes for him. Here's a couple of names I want to bring up. You have Stephen Wright, the comedian.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
throwback to Reservoir Dogs. He's the DJ who introduces all of the songs, including Stuck in the Middle with You on Reservoir Dogs.
You have Balthazar Getty.
Oh, yeah. Because when I saw him come on, I'm like, do we have another Young Guns connection here?
Yes, indeed. Young Guns too. That's it.
Yep.
The Prince of Pistoliers.
There you go.
Do you know who his granddad is?
Getty. The Getty?
John Paul Getty is his granddad.
Wow.
Okay. You also have Grandel Bush as a prison inmate in Natural Born Killers.
Really? I didn't see Johnson. No, the other one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. No, I missed that. No, the prisoner that I did see, and this is only because I just watched Austin Powers with my boys recently.
Okay.
the guy who, the white guy in the, who's got the shaved head, who eventually like gets riled up and goes and smashes the TV with the chair in the prison that starts the riot. He's the Irish guy. Who does number two work for? Like, yeah, he leaves his Lucky Charms wherever he goes.
It's, yeah, the same. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, that's the guy from Austin Powers.
Okay. You also have Mark Harmon as Mickey Knox.
In the TV version.
You have Adrian Brody in this movie as one of the cameramen.
Really?
Yes.
I did not see him either. Yes. Wow. Okay. Gee, my knee.
And then just on the cutting room floor, you also have Ashley Judd and Dennis Leary.
Okay.
Kind of full of people in this, right?
Yeah.
That does it for the cast. I did want to mention something about one of the locations in this movie.
Yeah, sure.
When Mickey and Mallory get married, they're kind of on the edge of a bridge, and it's this big overlook. I have been on that bridge many times. It's just outside of Taos, New Mexico, and it goes over the Rio Grande. And it is a big, beautiful bridge. You actually get a good look at it in the movie Twins.
Okay. Can we talk soundtrack for just a minute? Am I going to surprise you with who the guys are on these two movies? Do you know who they are?
Hans Zimmer.
Okay, so Hans Zimmer is the composer for True Romance. And let me just play you one song. It's one song that's his on this one that is, I just thought, this is beautiful. And as soon as the, and it starts playing, as soon as the movie comes on, and I immediately paused the movie and I went, who is the composer on this? Because it's fantastic. And this is Hans Zimmer. He's beginning his career at this point. He's done a few movies before this.
He'd been in The Buggles.
That too, yes. He had been in The Buggles before this, yes. But this is one of his earlier movies that he was composer for. This song's called You're So Cool.
Yeah, I love that, man. It makes me feel good.
It's
kind of fun. What is it? Like
this is a xylophone, probably. It's called You're So Cool, and, you know, which comes straight from the line of the movie. But it's just, the movie starts off with that and has that kind of, it's almost like a calming, reassuring thing in this movie that's packed with violence and chaos. Now, can you tell me who the composer was for Natural Born Killers?
I think it's, is it Trent Reznor?
It is Trent Reznor. That is correct. So Trent Reznor said he watched this movie 50 times. 50 times to get in the mood to make the soundtrack to this one. He suggested to Oliver Stone that they try to turn the soundtrack into a collage of sound, kind of the way the movie used music, like making all those fast edit cuts and adding dialogue and make it something crazy, interesting, rather than just a bunch of old Nine Inch Nails music.
Right.
What they ended up with is the song Burn by Nine Inch Nails. Or that one for you now. Okay, that's enough of that. So
that's cool.
Unlike the Hans Zimmer version, this one plays right into that chaotic, makes you want to kill somebody style. And I have to think that David Fincher was thinking about that whenever he decided to pull some music for Seven.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about Seven?
We need to.
Okay, D, I've got just a couple of tidbits that we haven't covered.
Okay.
That I want to drop on you real quick.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.
All right. So for Natural Born Killers, Quentin Tarantino has said many times that he hates the movie. He hadn't watched it all the way through. He thought that Oliver Stone didn't do a great job with it. In fact, he got to that part where it's like the I Love Lucy.
I Love Mallory.
I Love Mallory TV show.
Right.
He said he bumped into Johnny Cash one time in an elevator. And Johnny Cash is like, hey, I just want to let you know, me and June, we love your movie. And Quentin Tarantino's like, oh, really? What? And he's like, Natural Born Killers, we just love that movie.
And Quentin Tarantino, turned him around, huh?
Quentin Tarantino's like, thank you very much. But he hates it. Also, the prison scenes were shot at Statesville Correctional Facility, where Bad Boys and the Blues Brothers was shot. According to Woody Harrelson, Robert Downey Jr. was very popular with some of the inmates.
They recognize him?
Switching over to True Romance.
Okay.
Tony Scott would slap Patricia Arquette to get her ready to film her scene.
Okay.
Like actually slapping her around? Once again.
Weird.
Acting, my boy.
Yeah.
Right?
Did she ask him to slap her?
It's just how they got ready for it. And then Senator Bob Dole cited both
Bob True, Dole.
Right. Cited both True Romance and Natural Born Killers as movies that revel in the mindless violence and loveless sex. Going after both of these movies.
Well, something to it.
I also read that Oliver Stone wanted Natural Born Killers to be kind of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
I don't see that at all.
No. And it was the Waco, Nancy Kerrigan, Rodney King, O.J. Simpson, all of that stuff. That
no doubt about it.
Changed his mind on it. Yeah.
Are we ready to do Final Judgment?
Let me tell you about, we talked about how life imitates art, that imitates life, that imitates art.
Yeah, yeah.
The copycats.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So copycat crime, number one, right here in our home state of Oklahoma. Muskogee, Oklahoma, March 5th, 1995. Sarah Edmondson and her boyfriend, Benjamin Darris, both 18, spent a night alone together at her family's cabin in Muskogee, Oklahoma. They watched Natural Born Killers. 2 days later, they left the cabin, packed everything into his Nissan Maxima, and also brought a .38 caliber revolver. They said they were going to go watch a Grateful Dead concert in Memphis, Tennessee. What they did instead was they went to Hernando, Mississippi, where Darris killed a cotton mill manager named William Savage by shooting him twice in the head at point-blank range, and then took a piece of the blood-stained fabric as a souvenir. And then later, he just talked openly about it. I don't know why they'd go all the trouble to drive all the way down to Mississippi just to go ahead and tell everybody about it anyway. But then they went to Ponchatoula, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, Louisiana, and they shot Patsy Byers, a convenience store cashier. She survived but was rendered a quadriplegic, and the guy that they had murdered happened to be a friend of John Grisham, who then publicly bashed Oliver Stone for being irresponsible in making the movie. And by July of that year, the woman who had become a paraplegic, Byers, sued not only the people that shot her, but also sued the Time Warner Company and Oliver Stone. Ultimately, the case initially got dismissed on First Amendment grounds, and then it got reinstated by the Louisiana Court of Appeal. And then ultimately was dismissed not until March of 2001 on the grounds that there was no evidence that either Time Warner or Oliver Stone had intended to incite the violence.
Okay.
Sarah Edmondson has now been released on parole in Oklahoma after serving less than 12 years of a 30-year sentence. Her parole will end next year. Now, that was just one. There was also a 1996 school shooting in Frontier Middle School where the kid was inspired by Natural Born Killers, had seen it a bunch of times, came in like a bandolero, like guns and straps and even a duster, and started shooting people.
What?
1997, another high school, Heath High School shooting in West Paducah, Kentucky. And then, of course, 1999, Columbine High School massacre. They routinely in their conversations to each other before they went and killed their schoolmates, talked about NBKing people, natural born killers.
Okay.
So there you go.
And on that happy note, let's talk about our final judgment.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Should I go first?
You should go first.
All right. This is absolutely no contest. This is a complete mismatch for me.
Uh-huh.
True Romance is a lot of fun. It's interesting. It's violent, but it's gripping and thrilling and fun, and it's romantic. I think it's a very romantic movie. I buy the love story between Clarence and Alabama. I love them as a couple. I'm glad that they survive. I feel happy at the end of this movie. Okay, Natural Born Killers, however, I don't like any of these characters. I despise all of them. I don't care who survives at the end of this movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm not cheering for anybody. When Robert Downey Jr. gets blown away, I don't care. I don't like any of these people.
Uh-huh.
Natural Born Killers didn't do it for me. Jeff Johnson has tried to talk me into liking this movie. For me, this is absolutely 100% True Romance, not even close.
When you got done watching this movie, you texted me and said, please don't ever make me watch this pile of crap again.
Yes, that's right.
So I was like, okay, well, it's been 30 years since I've seen this movie, really? Yeah, so yeah. I guess I need to check again. And so I've watched it since you described it as a heaping dung heap or whatever. But I didn't hate it as much as you did. I could see the point that Stone was trying to make, because I don't think he has any desire to have people enjoy his movies. Like, okay. I don't think that's on his to-do list.
He could care less about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's wanting to make you feel something.
Right.
Right. Like, you watch the end of Platoon. If you're happy at the end of that, there's something wrong with you.
Sure.
Same thing for Born on the 4th of July. Same thing for Wall Street. I mean, none of his movies. So if you're walking into an Oliver Stone movie expecting a, driving off into the sunset in your Winnebago with a happy married couple and two little kids, well, you get that in this movie.
You do.
It's just that they happen to be mass murderers who you should not be rooting for.
Right.
But I thought that his idea was effective on this kind of juxtaposition of the media covering these horrific things, but doing it in such a way that they're trying to entice people to listen. And what spawned from that is, true crime is the most popular podcast format in the world. People love it. I don't get it. I've never been, I guess I do kind of get it because, yes, it has some interest to me, but for people to just be fascinated and listen to, like I said, that would rip away my soul.
Right.
So watching this movie once every 30 years is about right for me, right? I enjoyed it for what he was trying to do. He's trying to make a point. I think the point was well made. I think he went too far and did a bit too much with all of the weird, them behind a screen where other things are going on and TV shows playing in the window as they're in a hotel room and this random headless corpse standing up every few minutes or so. I just was like, what is that? Why is that in here other than for shock value?
Right.
Like, right. I just felt like he was like pushing that too hard. What can I do to shock you? And so, yeah, I can see it as a monumental movie. Pulp Fiction changed the face of movies at that time, and everything seemed to start imitating those kinds of movies from there on out until we hit the 21st century. But compare that to True Romance, where you have Tony Scott, a guy who made his fortune by making rock video movies, right?
Yeah.
And so he took his same bag of tricks and he combined it with a script by Tarantino, where Tarantino is writing himself. And you put all of these lovable characters together. I mean, even the crappy Tom Sizemore cop and Chris Penn cop, as slimy as those guys are, even Christopher Walken blowing away poor Dennis Hopper, there's something enticing about all of them. And as you've pointed out, unlike Natural Born Killers, where you're like, I don't really care if the shark eats them. I'm happy for them to die, right?
Right.
I don't care about these people. In True Romance, he absolutely makes you care about everybody. And it's not some sort of, I want to punch you in the gut kind of movie. It's a movie that makes you want to enjoy the movie. And I can't even figure out how it was a box office bomb and Natural Born Killers was a financial success. But in retrospect, I have to agree with you. True Romance holds out as the better movie. If I'm going to sit down and watch a movie over and over again, it's going to be True Romance. If you want to make me think every 30 years, then Natural Born Killers, sure. True Romance is definitely the winner.
The winner?
Yeah.
I do want to tell you, thank you. I had not seen either one of these movies. I had kind of a general idea what they were about, but discovering True Romance would be kind of like the equivalent of discovering like Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, it's just a movie that I really liked. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
I thought I had kind of seen everything there was to see at that time period. So for me, this was a big discovery of a movie that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So guys, tell us what you think. Jeff Johnson's going to be hitting us up, telling us why Natural Born Killers is so good, and I'm excited to hear his opinion on it. But tell us what you think. Have you seen True Romance? Most people have. If you haven't, go watch it. It is worth the rewatch.
I got one little tidbit for you.
Yeah.
Ted Danson and Woody Harrelson have a podcast out right now.
Okay.
And it's called Where Everybody Knows Your Name. It's great, man. They're together, Sam and Woody. It's a lot of fun.
Great.
If you like podcasts, check it out.
Love it. Well, guys, it's been fun. Catch us next week.
Next week, we're diving into the 70s, D. Ooh. Supertramp, Breakfast in America.
This is an underrated gem. And the reason that we're covering this one, we're going to be comparing it to, yes.
901.
Thank you. I always want to say 90210. But these are two bands, especially Supertramp, that just absolutely fly under the radar. Like, nobody talks about Supertramp, but you will routinely hear songs specifically off of this album to this day on the radio, And you just, they just go by and you're just like, oh, I love that song.
Right.
You, nobody clues in that, hey, this is Supertramp. At least that's the way it was for me. And so I'm excited to cover what I consider these two supremely underrated bands and underrated albums.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Saving money now during Menards Bag Sale. All prices after 15% bag sale discount. Pick up a 6-pack of LED light bulbs for just $2.97. Get a wood or fiberglass claw hammer for only $2.29 each. 52-ounce bottles of Ajax dish soap, just $2.97. And 12-packs of Shasta soda in assorted flavors are only $4.19. Don't miss out on Menards Bag Sale happening now. Good through January 12th. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.